What's up, y'all? I'm Will here with Schedule Fly, and this is the Restaurant Owners Uncorked podcast, one of the highest rated hospitality podcasts in the world, brought to you by us at Schedule Fly. We provide a very simple web-based restaurant employee scheduling software backed by legendary customer service. If you're on pencil and paper or Excel, or you're on some software with tons of bells and whistles and features you don't need or use, ScheduleFly is the perfect place for you. Easy to use, point, click, and go, and we'll take great care of you. ScheduleFly.com, free trial, check it out. Also, this podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Pop Menu and The Giving Kitchen and Kickfin, and you're going to hear about them in just a minute. First of all, let's talk about today's guest. Today's guest is Tom Holland, and Tom owns restaurants up in the Boston area. I wanted to talk to Tom because I saw on his website, one of his places is called A&B Burgers, and the story on there talks about how the name A&B comes from the initials of his son's names. And I thought, well, that's probably a cool story. I'd love to learn more. Little did I know that over 500 episodes on this podcast, this one ranks easily top five in terms of how powerful and emotional this story is. I thought I was going to cry probably during the episode. This dude is a hero, and I'm not going to spoil his story. You need to hear it, but this is an incredible episode, highly memorable, one I'll never forget. We'll definitely have Tom on here again. Huge honor to be able to share this story. And y'all, this is why we do what we do with this podcast. This is an independent restaurant owner, doesn't have a platform to share this story, but what a powerful story it is. So we're grateful and we're honored to have this opportunity. You're going to love this episode. Thank y'all so much for watching and listening. More episodes coming soon. Enjoy. The busiest time of year is coming. Is your staff ready for the holiday rush? This year, give your team the gift of Pop Menu AI Answering, a simple solution for phones ringing off the hook. AI Answering handles calls 24/7, 365 days a year, so your staff can focus on in-person guests. Customize your greetings and responses, answer common questions, promote specials and events, and send follow-up links to ordering and reservations. AI Answering handles it all while escalating more complex conversations back to your team. Never miss another tasty revenue opportunity. Pop Menu, the marketing technology platform designed to make growing your restaurant easy. Discover more AI restaurant tools that turn your to-do list into an already done list by requesting a demo today. For a limited time, get $100 off your first month, plus lock in one unchanging monthly rate at popmenu.com. Go now to get $100 off your first month at popmenu.com. Be sure to tell them that Will from Restaurant Owners Uncorked podcast and Schedule Fly sent you. Y'all, this is a great business. I just told you what they like me to say. I will say that we have a lot of mutual customers at Schedule Fly with Pop Menu. They all agree. Great product, great customer service, great results. Check them out, popmenu.com. This episode is also brought to you by The Giving Kitchen. Giving Kitchen provides emergency assistance for food service workers through financial support and a network of community resources. Since its inception in 2013, Giving Kitchen has served over 15,000 food service workers and awarded over $10.5 million to food service workers in crisis. If you or someone you know is a food service worker in crisis, please ask for help. TheGivingKitchen.org, and again, that's TheGivingKitchen.org. Y'all, this is a phenomenal organization. Jen, the founder, has been on this podcast. Jen Heidinger Kendrick, check out that episode to hear their full story. But if you know somebody or you need help, go to TheGivingKitchen.org. Incredible, incredible organization and very responsive and has a wonderful mission. Check them out. All right, so here we are live with the Restaurant Owners Uncorked podcast. And I've got my buddy Tom up in Boston on here today. Tom, introduce yourself.
Yeah, how you doing, man? Well, Tom Holland. I am the owner of A&B Burgers in Beverly, Massachusetts, as well as A&B Kitchen and Bar in Boston on Causeway Street.
All right, man. First question, always first question. How, when, and why did you get started in the hospitality business?
Oh, man, that is a very deep question, man. I don't know. It's a long story, and we can get into it, I guess. But I started in as a busboy in 1989 at a restaurant called the Roadhouse Cafe in Hyannis, Mass. In Cape Cod. You know, I didn't go to high school. I left home when I was 15, and so that was the first job I got. You know, and I realized I loved it, and I just kept doing more and more. I used it as an opportunity to be able to travel. I traveled all over the world. I was able to work and make money, spend time in different cities. And then one day I realized this is my life, and I do it and I'm good at it. And so I decided to turn it into a career and got into restaurant ownership.
Wow. Well, there's a lot to unpack there, brother.
I'm telling you, we could go back. We got a lot to talk about if you want to really hear the story.
You started, like, how did busing tables lead to traveling all over the world? Well, like, what happened?
So when I was 15 years old, I was living in Cape Cod, and I decided that the life of going to school and doing what everybody said wasn't for me. And so at 15, I jumped on the highway, I stuck out my thumb, and I hitchhiked to San Francisco.
Holy
cow. Yeah. Yeah. I knew nobody. I just went. I had
15.
I had a backpack, a school backpack, and I just had a couple change of clothes, $10. That was it. And a carton of cigarettes, because back then I smoked. And I hit the road, and I went to San Francisco. I was an old deadhead. I followed the Grateful Dead around the country for 4 years. I saw almost 300 shows. And when I was 19, you know, I realized that all my friends around me were either dying or going to jail. And I didn't want that to happen to me. And so I went home, and I got my first job as a busboy. So I've always been that kind of guy that I've never been a structured guy. I've always been a guy who loves interacting, and I love new adventures, and that's what the restaurant is, right? Like, you're meeting new people every day, you have new problems every day, you have new successes every day. You never walk into the restaurant and think this is going to be a routine day, because they just don't happen. And that's me, and that's my personality. I met a friend, dude in this restaurant in Cape Cod, and he convinced me to buy a motorcycle and ride my motorcycle across country with him. And I did. And two of us rode our bikes across country back to San Francisco. And I ended up getting my first waiter job there. And then just kind of went. I loved waiting tables. I loved bartending. I loved just the excitement of it all. I was a nightlife person. You know, at the time, there was a lot of the industry was very different than it is today. A lot of partying. I got involved in a lot of bad stuff, and I ended up becoming homeless. I became a drug addict and an alcoholic in the industry. I ended up losing everything. I was living on the streets for a number of years and bounced around. I was unemployable. And then when I was 30 in 2001, I decided I had enough. I went into a halfway house. I got sober. I've been sober for 22 and a half years. Mm. And in that halfway house, I got a job as a waiter just to make money. And I was going to go to school for journalism. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a wartime journalist. I wanted to go off into wherever there was conflict and be able to go. That was my dream. And I started waiting tables at this place called Sansi on Newbury Street in Boston, super famous restaurant. And I never left. I ended up becoming a brunch manager, and then a restaurant manager, and then an assistant general manager, and then the general manager. I was there for 8 years. I never went to school because I loved the business so much. And, that just started my journey towards ownership. So it was the industry was first for me because it allowed me freedom and I didn't have structure. Then it became a necessity because it was the only thing I knew how to do. And then it became my passion because I realized I don't want to do anything else. I love this industry. And, you know, I worked when I became partners. Well, first director of operations, then a business partner with Michael Schlau, who's, you know, world famous chef, great, owned restaurants from DC to Michigan, Boston. Amazing dude, taught me a ton.
What's his name?
Michael Schlau. He owns the Schlau Restaurant Group, and they have, you know, they own Radius and Via Mata in Boston, which are two of the, you know, they're both gone now. When 2008 hit and the bank crisis, we were very, very upscale in those restaurants. You know, they were tasting menus and high prices, and dining changed. And so those restaurants didn't quite fit with the diners anymore. But he has Alta Strada's in DC, Virginia, at Foxwoods, Wellesley, Mass. He's got a few sushi places. He's got a whole different realm of restaurants. Anyways, he's a great chef, and he taught me a ton. And I was able to turn that ownership, that partnership, into my own restaurants. And 10 years ago, I opened A&B Burgers in Salem, Mass. And it's been a 10-year journey ever since for me.
A&B Burgers, and tell us why it's named A&B.
A&B are actually my sons, Alex and Ben. So, you know, when I left, it's funny to say it out loud now because, you know, at the time I thought this, but when I left, I was working 24 hours a day, man. When my son Alex was born, I took one day off and then I was back to work. You know, that was it. I took his day of birth off and I was back to work. And I said, you know what? I want to do this differently, and I'm going to open my own place, and I'm going to have more time for my family. And so I named it after my kids, because that's why I was doing this. You know, little did I know that when you're the only person, you work way more and you see way less of them than when you are working for somebody else or have a team around you. So it took me a while before I got to spend that time with those kids, but it came.
Well, I asked that because that's what really caught my attention when I went to your website and saw what A&B stood for and saw their awesome pictures on there. And
yeah.
God, I mean, dude, this might have to be a whole series. I have 1,000 questions I want to ask. I mean, because you went from leaving home at 15, all of those issues for all of those years, for the next 15 years, and here you are now. You know, the industry that enabled you to, you know, pretty much bring your life and bring you to your knees, essentially, has now enabled you to have a successful business. And that's quite an amazing turn. And that's one of the interesting things about this industry. The industry has shifted a lot over the years. The culture has changed. It used to be that work hard, play hard, lots of substance abuse, lots of partying, lots of people that wound up in the same situation as you, homeless, streets, strung out on drugs and alcohol, jail. The industry, I think, collectively has started to shift and understand that, you know, that doesn't have to be part of the culture to still have a fun and thriving culture. In fact, it needs to not be, to have a sustainable, fun and thriving culture and a successful business. And but it's a challenging thing because you're also, that's part of the industry, you know, it's fun and partying is what the industry wants people to experience. And alcohol is certainly a huge part of that. I congratulate you on, you know, that commitment you made 22 and a half years ago and sticking to that, man. So, what a phenomenal, life-changing, drastically life-changing moment for you. And now you own business and you have a family. Dude, that's powerful stuff.
Thank you, man. Thank you. You know, I was the first person in this halfway house they ever allowed to work in a restaurant or a bar setting because people are trying to get sober. But it was all I knew. It was all I knew, and they trusted me and they let me do it. And mainly because they knew I was going to go back to it. So I had to learn how to maneuver my new lifestyle, for lack of a better term, within an industry that, I had, it gave me tons of opportunities to mess up, so to speak. The industry has definitely changed. It is way different. You know, people are just different and society's changed. But the thing that I always saw with me and with my sobriety was, so this place, Sonsie, if you ever look it up, it's Sonsie. It's on Newbury Street, which is called like the Rodeo Drive of Boston. It's been there since 1994. It's incredible. It was the Boston celebrity playground when I was there. You know, like Tom Brady lived next door, and Matt Damon and Ben Affleck bought us out for their New Year's Eve party. Like, there's just, it was that kind of place. And it was all, it was called the place to see and be seen. They had these doors that opened up right to Newbury Street, and all the beautiful people sat out front, and they would sit there 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock on a summer night, drinking champagne and smoking cigarettes, because you smoke in restaurants then. And it was hard for me to watch, it was hard for me to be around, because they looked so beautiful doing everything they were doing. But then I saw those same people at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning. And that, honestly, that is what kept me sober at the beginning, was I saw all these people change. They allowed the night change them, and they got ugly. And I ended up having to get, I got in fights as a manager trying to get, I'd cut somebody off and they'd hit me, or they'd want to fight me, or, somebody, I found people passed out in the bathroom on the floor when I'm locking up an hour and a half after we closed, because they went to their bathroom and their friends left them. And as I do my walkthrough before I leave the restaurant, I would literally find people passed out on the floor of the bathroom and those things. And those are the things that got me through that early days being in this industry and trying to change my life, was that I saw it from the beginning to the end. Yeah, everyone looked sexy and beautiful when the sun was out and they were all, sipping champagne and wine and martinis, but they did not have that same look at 2 o'clock in the morning,
God,
it was very different. So that really empowered me a bit, and that got me through it. And, and also, this is very important. And this isn't a story about sobriety, it's a story about restaurant ownership, but it is part of my story. And, you get, when you make that decision and you keep that decision, it just becomes more solid. And the better things that happen to me in life, the more I wanted to keep it. And so I was, and that's what A and B stands for. That's what my boys are. The best things that ever happened to me, including my wife, Nancy, best things that ever happened to me. And so it's a daily reminder when I come into my restaurants, what I have to lose, what I have to work for, why I'm doing this every single day. As I walk in and I look and I see my family's name on the front, and it's a pretty motivating, moment when I see that. It's like, sometimes you wonder, what the hell are you doing all this stuff for? Because it's not easy, especially the last 3 years, man. But then I think about it, I'm like, you know what? I'm doing this so that my sons have a better life. My family can enjoy themselves, and I can take great care of people that, come to me and choose me to host them. That's pretty cool.
Dude, it's phenomenal, man. This is like the hero's journey, Tom. I mean, wanting something and having to achieve significant obstacles and overcome those obstacles to get it. I mean, you went from, you don't have to get into your childhood, but you left home at 15. I can infer some things. And then now,
yeah.
Here you are. I'm assuming you drew inspiration and strength from saying, okay, we either learn what we want or what we don't want, or both. I mean, you said, okay, I don't want that. Now you've given your family what you clearly didn't have, and you're you've given these boys something that you needed and didn't have. And what an amazing turn of events. And I've got three kids. I talk to my kids about this stuff. Like, I'm like, look, the things that that like substance abuse or substance use. It's cool for a moment. It feels good. It's like things that feel good for a short period of time will lead to bad things for a long period of time. Like, just like you were talking about, like, hey, yeah, great. Yeah. It feels good at first and you're out there having fun. The next thing you know, you're getting in a fight or you're getting thrown in jail or you're getting a DUI or you feel crappy for the next 5 days because you ever did it. And it's like short, good, long, bad, you know, versus like, I don't know, like you need to get fired up. Like I go take a cold shower, you know, short, bad, right. Then you feel good for a long time. Like, but to that point, like what, I mean, look, you followed the dead, you got in all kinds of stuff. What do you, you had to have made some replacement, I've got to imagine, for, you know, using substances. Like, what did you do to, get your fix or whatever you want to call it now? Like, do you meditate, pray, exercise, like, or is it just the work?
Yeah. No, well, so that's a really good, at the end there, where I did at the beginning, it was all work. I replaced everything I thought that was negative in my life was something I thought would be positive, which was just put everything into work, you know, and that was my life. Like my wife, she is a saint. She's been with me, you know, we met, I was maybe 8 months sober and we've been together and, you know, so she never knew me prior to that, but she's been with me through this entire journey. And being in this industry, I never had a weekend off. I never had a Friday, a Saturday. I didn't want time off. I knew like this was what I needed. And, you know, my best man at my weddings, my buddy Timmy, used to go to all my family events with my wife and they would call him Stand-In Tom because they knew I wasn't going to be there, you know, but she didn't want to go alone. And, you know, he was my best friend. So he would, you know, he would go there as Stand-In Tom. But then I started realizing that I had, you know, the reason I got sober was to find a better balance to life, right? Like, you know, I wasn't trading an addiction of substance for an addiction of work. I needed to find happiness within, right? Mm-hmm. Like happiness here. And you mentioned prayer. Like I'm a spiritual dude. I believe in God. I talk to him every day. It's something that's important to me. I don't put that on other people. Everybody has their own feelings, their own thoughts and beliefs, but that's what gets me through the day. Prayer to me is more of like, it is meditation. I get down on my knees. I humble myself before God. I think about, you know, my day. I talk about ways I should have been better this day. I could be better today, you know, and I use it as a moment of reflection and then I'm boom, gone, go. And that's my day. That's how I start. You know, I'm pretty balanced now. You know, I don't work like I used to. Right now I'm working a lot because I made changes and I changed GMs at both restaurants. So I'm here all the time again, but that's good. You know, like getting back in here. Other times, you know, I might work two nights a week, but I'm here all day in my office, you know, doing my work isn't as fun anymore. You know, like the restaurant industry to me, I love being behind the bar, mixing drinks, talking to guests out. My days are spent answering emails and going through spreadsheets and coding invoices and doing, that's the majority of my day now. So, you know, that's the business owner side of it. So I still try to make sure that I get here to do the fun stuff, which is seeing my guests and my regulars and motivating my staff and all of that. But I'm not doing it like I used to, which was 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, my sons are 11 and 14 now. So, you know, when we started this, they were 1 and 4. I want to be a part of, like I said, I travel a lot during, you know, every summer. My sons are baseball players, my 14-year-old and I take road, you know, last summer we were on the road for 5 weeks, you know, going down to Florida and Virginia and Maryland and South Carolina playing ball. And it was awesome. And I wouldn't be able to do that if I wasn't in this industry and didn't own my own businesses, you know? So what took years of just putting 100% of me into every moment has now paid benefits because I'm able to balance family and life and work, I should say.
All right, y'all, it is time for a little mid-episode break. We're going to talk about Kickfin. Thousands of restaurants, bars, and breweries use Kickfin to tip out their employees instantly. No cash required. With Kickfin, tips go directly to your employees' bank of choice the second their shift ends. It's a really simple solution to a really big problem because if you're still paying out credit card tips in cash, it's costing you. Time-consuming bank runs and cash counting take managers away from work that matters. Cash is hard to track, which leads to accounting headaches, and it creates the perfect opportunity for theft, human error, and compliance issues. Bottom line, there's never been an instant secure way to pay out tips until Kickfin. It's an easy-to-use software that sends real-time, cashless tip payouts straight to your employees' bank accounts, 24/7, 365. Kickfin gives managers hours back in their day, makes reporting a breeze, and protects your business from risk. Most importantly, employees love it. Restaurants can have Kickfin up and running overnight. Employees can enroll in seconds. No hardware, no contracts, no setup fees. Visit kickfin.com for a personalized demo. See how restaurants across the country are digitizing tips with Kickfin. All right, that's what they asked me to say, so I say it, and it tells the story very well, but I like to add this in. We referred a customer that we know and love very well, SupDogs, to Kickfin. SupDogs has been a customer for a super long time. Trust them very much with their opinion on these types of tools. They started using Kickfin. I asked Brett, the owner, recently how it's going. He said, Kickfin is perfect. It's going great. Exactly what we were hoping for. So there you go. Kickfin.com, y'all. Check them out. You're a guy that's going to get after it, whatever it is you're doing, and pour yourself into it. That's clear. As a young man, that was partying.
Yep.
And when you got through that phase, it was working. And we get to a point in life. I'm very much the same. We're probably roughly about the same age. I'm 49, but you start to realize like, I'm constantly trying to figure out the balance. Like I defer a lot of times to working too much. Like, cause I'm like, well, work is something that's like an easy problem to solve. Like this is the thing that needs to be done. And if I do that and I work, then I'll figure it out versus like, but then you're like, I mean, God, my 16-year-old son right now, it's like, I don't even know how to, like, you know, it's just, it's like, dude,
yeah, right.
I don't care. Like, it's hard, but it is really, I'm glad to hear that you have prayer and you have balance and you have time with your family. I mean, this is what we do this for, right? You found, I think, Tom, what really is important to you, which is like when you're doing all the partying, I did a lot of this when I was young too. So I get, it's kind of like about yourself, right? Like you're kind of in this, like, I want to have fun. I want this, I want that. And then you kind of mature and you're starting to be like, I don't really want to focus on me. I'd like actually like focusing on others, which is what hospitality is. I mean, your whole livelihood is about providing some meaningful experience to the people that the guests that come into your restaurants, and whether it's because they want to come to mourn a loss, to celebrate a win, to get together with friends they haven't seen, or to have a night off of family dinner and bring the family all out. Like it's always about providing this experience for others. So it's externally facing, and it's a more rewarding way to be, right, when you're focused on others and not, you know, just on me and what I want. Because the byproduct of focusing on others and helping others and doing for others and focusing on God and focusing on family is, the byproduct is you actually are happier and more fulfilled from that because of you're not focused on you. You know what I mean?
No, I 100% agree with you. You know, I mean, it one of the most rewarding parts of this business is that, you know, somebody who's like, for me, having these for 10 years now, I have regulars that not only have my kids grown up in this restaurant, but so have my guests, you know? And so like, I've watched these families that started coming to A&B 10 years ago, and now their kids, they're coming, they came last week because their kids came home from college for the holiday, and they come out to dinner because A&B's their spot, right? Like, that's been their family spot. And so it's really cool to be that place that, and to be in the opportunity that you're able to build those relationships. And as you said, mourning a loss or celebrating a win, or just going out on a Friday night, it's like people can choose where to go. They can choose there's thousands of restaurants in this area. They go anywhere, but they choose to come to my restaurant. And I believe that's because we focus on building relationships, right? Like, relationships are what this industry, what life is all about. I tell that to my boys all the time. It's like, yes, education is so important and so is hard work, but neither of those are going to get you the success that you want without building meaningful and positive relationships. I wouldn't have these restaurants. Everybody, I didn't come from any money. My family didn't have money. I was, like I said, I came from the streets. I met people working in restaurants that I built relationships with. And when I decided that I wanted to go out and do my own thing, and I picked up the phone and called them, they trusted me and invested their money in me. Like, yeah, they bet in the business, but it was in me. And those relationships are very important to me. When we go through our challenges, I think about three different groups of people. Of course, I think about my family. I think about my employees because they're so important to everything I do. And I think about my investors because they trusted me. I owe them every bit of hard work I can. So relationships are what this industry is about. It's what sobriety is about. It's what life is about. And, I try to teach that to everybody that works for me and my kids too, that if you want to make sure that you're going to have here in this restaurant, you're going to have repeat guests, you got to take the time to find out who your guests are, because they'll come back to you.
Tell me about your team.
My team's amazing. Honestly, they really are. They work hard. I'm sure everybody you talk to right now, we still talk about, this is still the post-COVID recovery period, right? Yes. Like, we're still not out of it yet.
Right.
Not even close. Not even close. In fact, this year has been harder than 2021 and 2022 because, nobody has the government funding anymore, so we're all struggling harder and harder. My team has been with me fighting through this with me every single day. We aren't an easy restaurant. You think A&B Burgers, you think it's a burger place, you're going to get super casual. Nobody really cares about service, hospitality. That's not true. Like, I truly believe that we are in the hospitality industry, and it doesn't matter what style of service or what style of restaurant you own. It can be quick serve, it can be casual, it can be upscale fine dining. You have to give the same level of hospitality at all of them. Quick little side that tells you how I train my staff is that, before, everybody's got Easy Pass now, but before Easy Pass was really a thing and you could just drive through them, we used to have to go through toll booths, right? You have to hand the toll booth collector $2 and leave. And I'd always pull up, my wife and I would be in the car, and I'd pull up on the Mass Pike. The first thing I do when I pull up, I'm like, hey, how you doing today? And they would just regularly just stick their hand out, $2. They wouldn't respond, they wouldn't smile, they wouldn't do anything. And so for the next 20 minutes of me driving down the highway, I would just complain to my wife about how it doesn't take that much to smile. You're a forward-facing hospitality. Even in a toll booth, you're welcoming people, right? You can make their day. You can impact their day. And it used to drive me crazy to the point that she went out and found Easy Pass and got me one because she was sick and tired of listening to me complain about toll booth collectors in the car for 20 minutes every time we went on the highway. So that's how I drive my team, and that's how I train my team, is that you come in, we don't have customers. We don't say the word customers here. your guests. Customers are transactional, right? Like, it's all about the money and this product. That's it. They come in, they give me money, I give them product, they leave, there's nothing. Guests are my family. They're guests. They're people in my house. They're, you know, when you walk into my house, I don't dismiss you and I don't walk away and I don't say, yeah, well, the kitchen's in there, go grab yourself a drink, I'm gonna go head downstairs and do some work. You don't do that, right? Guests come in and I immediately greet them, I hug them, I take their coat for them, I offer them a drink, I cook for them, I make sure that they're great till the second they leave. And that's how we drive this restaurant, how we try to make every person, and we don't succeed every time. We are far from perfect, but my staff works hard to get there. And they really do believe that whether it's a burger restaurant or A&B Kitchen is a sports bar, because right across the street from the Boston Garden, we don't believe that our style and level of hospitality should drop just because we're casual environments. And they buy into it. So I'm very lucky, you know. My kitchen team has been with me a long time. You know, even during COVID, when we were forced to be shut down, you know, I had a number of staff that couldn't collect unemployment for various reasons, and they had no income. And so they were, you know, they wouldn't be able to eat. They wouldn't, because you couldn't leave your house, right? So I reached out to some of my investors, and we put some money together, and we then reached out to local schools and homeless shelters and found kids that were on the free lunch program that no longer, their families no longer could get their kids free lunch, and shelters that no longer had people coming in and cook for them. And we put our staff, anybody that wanted to work, I paid them the entire shutdown, and they just came in Monday through Friday, and we made 120 to 150 lunches a day. And we drove around and dropped them off at everyone's front door. And we did that for months through COVID. And that was how we were able to keep our team together. And they've still been, you know, they're still with me now, so, which is pretty amazing. You know, anyone that wanted to work had work, you know, thankfully, which was pretty cool.
Well, you clearly have, you've alluded to this, and that story just sealed the deal. You clearly have some great people that are investors as well. And that's one of the things I've learned over the years of talking to owners like yourself is, you know, you're starting this restaurant and you're getting investors and you need the money and you know, you just want that check, but be real careful who you bring in as your investors, because they do become, they're part of that family, and you need investors that, when you go to them during a situation like COVID and say, hey, look, like, let's do this, that they're going to step up because they're good people. They're not just giving you money and expecting some return. This is what's so amazing to me, man. One of the things that's so amazing to me about independent restaurants is you have investors, owners, employees, and regulars and guests that, it's just collectively such a great, like, great group of people, particularly the guests that really understand the importance of independent restaurants because of what you do for your community, what y'all do. I mean, you were clearly essential workers. People recognized intensely, I think, during COVID, how much they really appreciate their local independent restaurants and all that those folks do for their communities, and they didn't want to see them go. Like, maybe you kind of took it for granted, and then you started to realize, like, wait a minute, man. Like, one of the most important aspects of any great community, big city, small town, somewhere in between, it can't be great in a place where people want to live unless there's a lot of really awesome small businesses and particularly independent restaurants. It's where it's like the heartbeat, the pulsing heartbeat of any great city or town. And
yeah, you're right. You know, we had a tough time in Boston because we opened just months before the pandemic shut us down. And I don't know what it's like in Charlotte where you are, but in Boston, everybody left the city, everybody, They bought, you know, nobody wanted to live near people, right? You couldn't really go do anything. We were all shut down. You know, my business is there is very, very dependent on the Celtics and Bruins and concerts, because we're directly across the street from the Garden. And that was all, you know, there were no fans for a year and a half there. So, and we were only months old. So everybody left the city. We were shut down for almost a year. There was just no reason to open. We couldn't, all our staff came up to Beverly. But what you were saying about community coming together in Beverly was amazing. I mean, when we reopened it first for takeout, we were slammed to the point that I had to like apologize to people for how bad it was, because we couldn't keep up. Like, everybody wanted to support us. Everybody wanted to come and take care of us. And they knew, like, let's order out. You know, people had a lot of expendable cash because they couldn't spend their money on anything. So, you know, and they wanted to have a little feeling of normalcy. So they were ordering out and bringing restaurants, food home. And we had to shift our whole business model from dine-in to takeout, even though, you know, you think A&B Burgers was always a takeout spot. It's not, you know, we were a sit down, full service restaurant, full bar. You know, we have $250 shots of tequila. We have $300 bottles of wine. We have charcuteries and, you know, chicken liver mousses and oyster, all kinds of stuff, you know, in addition to burgers. So we didn't have a takeout model. And we had to shift that. And it was because the community wanted to support us so much, you know, and that was an amazing thing. You know, it was very, it was life-saving for a lot of us, you know? You know, so we're very grateful to our guests as well for having that support to help us through, you know. And it's kind of ironic because, you know, as I just said, this year has actually been harder for most restaurants, you know, everybody I know anyways, because, you know, it's like, it's not, there isn't that same level of support, like, universally, and people don't have the kind of money they have now, so they can't dine out like they used to, you know. I mean, everything costs so much more and all, and so, you know, with inflation and all this going on, people are very, very particular about where they go. So for us, we have to work 10 times harder to make sure that everybody that comes here enjoys themselves. They're not as forgiving as they was 3 years, rightfully so.
Yeah,
rightfully so, shouldn't be. You know, but 3 years ago, everyone was like, ah, it's COVID, it's okay. Now it's not. Now,
right.
You make a mistake. And they're like, hey, you took my hard-earned money and I didn't get what you promised me. And, you know, rightfully so, they're disappointed with that, you know. That's always a challenge as a restaurant owner, restaurant worker, is making sure that you're able to make 100 people happy 100% of the time. And that's not always the case.
It's hard. Well, you've got great people, and it's people, man. It is a people business, isn't it? I mean, you got to get the food, you got to get the ambiance, all that stuff, but those people can make such a big difference. To your point, just the extra eye contact, the smile, my daughter had this job this summer as a hostess, and I was like, every time somebody leaves, just look them in the eye and say, hey, thank you all so much for coming in. Like, you won't notice it because you're the hostess and you're there, but I'm telling you, that stuff matters. And then they think the next time they go out, they're like, man, they treated me really well. People just want to be treated well, right? I mean, most people, if you treat them well, you're kind to them, you're attentive, you're present. That's what hospitality really is, right? Like, like you said, it's a relationship. It's not a customer. It's a guest in your home. And of course, if you're in your home, you're super attentive. And if trying to get people to work for you to understand that is challenging, but you lead by example, and they, you know, the right people start to mirror that and get that and realize that, like, well, if we do that, you know, it's like this, it's the byproduct, right? Like, treat people really well, they'll come back, the business will be successful, I'll make more money, but that's not the goal. The goal, that's the byproduct, you know, like that's what happens if we do the right thing. which you seem to fully embrace.
Everyone thinks restaurant owners make a lot of money, but we don't these days. I'll tell you that.
Nah, man,
it is hard now, man. It's all, you know, like you have to constantly. It's so much about managing the business now. It's so much about managing costs. It's making sure that you're cutting people as not too early that you get caught and burned. But you can't keep somebody on because that, you know, that extra $5-$10 per employee adds up every day. It's $100 a day of unnecessary labor, which is now $36,500 a year that you could have saved by cutting somewhere. You know, maybe in our heyday, that didn't quite. I mean, it was, you know, obviously none of us were getting rich unless you're, you know, owning tons and tons of places, but you make a good living. Now it's, you got to fight for every single penny. You got to make sure, like right now, I'm negotiating with new beef purveyors. I'm negotiating with bread purveyors. I'm going to go because I can't raise my prices anymore. You know, like you, there's a ceiling on that. And so you got to make sure your costs don't outgrow your prices, right? And so it's a battle. And that's where, you know, that's what my management team now is there. It's not just about the hospitality for them anymore. It's also about learning how to run a business because they do run my business for me. You know, so there's so many more. They were always there, but we just have less room for error now. You know, where before you had a little bit of room for error, now you don't. Now, if you want to survive in this industry, you got to be a very, very smart businessman. You know, and almost ruthless, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but in a way that you protect yourself and you protect your people. Because if you can't make a profit, well, none of these people have jobs, right? So you got to make sure that you're always sitting with people. You're always questioning, what's the next thing? What's the next question I should be asking to make sure that I'm getting the best deal possible in every way? You know, so it's like, yeah, relationships are huge. Staff is huge. But profitability is also huge. So, you know, let's not take that away from why we're doing this. I love people. I love the industry. But I also need to make a living. And, you know, that's number one. If this restaurant isn't profitable, none of us have jobs, right? So, you know, I think a lot of times people don't want to talk about that aspect of it. You know, they're like, oh, I'm into this because of the passion and the love. It's like, I agree with that. But if you're not making money, then you're not going to have a whole lot of passion for what you're doing. So, you know, the business side of it is something that everybody needs to learn as well. You know, it's harder, I feel like, for, you know, my chef friends that go into business because they run, they're artists, man. You know, they're incredible. They're talented and they work with food and but then all of a sudden they go into a restaurant and they don't have that management team with them and they have to manage books and reservation systems and schedules and all these things. And it's like, wait, I just want to cook, man. You know, that's what I hear from so many of them all the time. Like me, I was a front of house guy. I'm not talented enough to be a chef. Those guys are a different breed. You know, I've always been a front of house guy. So the business side of it comes easier to me. But it's not easy. It's not these days.
You're having to really sharpen your skills. The good thing is that just makes you better. And this has forced a lot of restaurants to be better at running the restaurant, or a lot of restaurant people, that is. It's forced y'all to be better at running it, be creative, come up with new ways to create revenue. And then, you know, economies are cyclical. So at some point, you know, just like after 2008, things will get good again. And then you're just going to be even, you know, you'll just be in much better shape going into that.
Yep.
To increase profits and to thrive. So, dude, Tom, what an inspiring story, man. I had no idea what I was getting into today. This is really, really cool. And I congratulate you. I tip my hat to you. And just phenomenal life that you've built, and just well done building a family. and building a successful business and giving so much to your community and to your team and to your guests. And man, I appreciate you. Thank you for the business. Appreciate you as a customer. Yes. And appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Well, thank you. I also appreciate you giving restaurant owners a voice. You know, like I said, people sometimes forget that there are, you know, families and human beings behind the business, and having an opportunity to talk like this is great. So thank you for that.
Well, subscribe to the podcast, Restaurant Owners Uncorked. Start listening, spread the word, tell your restaurant buddies, and we'll keep trying to crank out good content.
Thank you, Will. I appreciate you.